Well, good morning. I'd invite your attention to the book of John, chapter 16. You see what I mean? I want to share some thoughts with you about being cheerful in suffering. Being cheerful in suffering. Now, that sounds like a subject you don't want to hear about. But somewhere along the way, you're going to go through some suffering. It may be sooner than later. It may be in the past. But sooner or later, you're going to endure. Chapter 16 and verse number 13 says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Every Christian that I know well, I'll put it that way, has endured some pain in serving God. It just comes with the territory. There's six or seven things I like to go through in this particular verse, and I want to sort of take it apart, phrase by phrase, and relate some illustrations for you to understand that serving God is worth it. Whatever this world throws at you, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. As a believer, you are indwelled by the Spirit of God. As a believer, Jesus Christ, our Savior, sits at the right hand of his Heavenly Father, making intercession for you and I. If you have the Holy Spirit guiding you and indwelling you, if you have the Son of God, your Savior, petitioning our Heavenly Father on your behalf, you've got a lot going for you, to say the least. So when the world throws you a curve or a spitball, as they used to say when I was growing up, I don't think there's such a thing now as a spitball, you can handle it. These words in this particular verse is in the last part of the third chapter of four chapters that Jesus related to his disciples in the upper room. Jesus is within 24 hours of hanging on the cross. And he is admonishing his disciples, 11 of them at this particular point, because Judas has already gone to betray him, betray the Lord. And he's encouraged them along the way, but he's trying to be open with them and fair with them that serving God is not always a pleasant thing. We have peace with God. We have his indwelling spirit. But the world doesn't like that. And because the world doesn't like that, the world will probably not like you. If Jesus had enemies, okay, the disciples had enemies. Matter of fact, all the disciples, according to some historians, suffered ill treatment, usually killed in the ministry. The Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, endured, I call it the cat of nine tails. He was whipped, his back was ripped open, I think, three times. I can't imagine that, but for those of you in the biological sense, your back is the only place in your body without arteries. And therefore, they could rip the skin off of your back and you would never bleed to death. But you would feel the pain. I can't imagine what Paul's back looked like after three whippings. I imagine his back was nothing but scars. But Jesus said, I have spoken. And then there's a positional thing that I'm just trying to alliterate here, and I don't know if I did a good job of it or not. But the verse says, in me, you may have peace. As a believer, God doesn't guarantee you outward peace. The Bible, at least my Bible, uses the word may. You may have peace. There is no guarantee that you will have peace outwardly. People will not receive you like you would like for them to be. I know when I first met the Lord, I thought everything would be hunky-dory and things would go well, and they did for a while. But the devil found me, and things didn't always go well for me. But earlier, Christ gave these words to the disciples in chapter 15 and verse number 4. In me, abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Abiding in the Lord has a way of making the inward you, the spiritual part of you, have peace with God. That abiding, which is needs to be renewed every day as you spend time with God. The time that you spend with God on a daily basis is the best part of your day. Because you're in the very presence of God, you're entering the throne room of God Almighty. And our Heavenly Father listens to your every word. Matter of fact, those words are recorded for the Lord to, in a sense, remind himself. Not that he needs reminded, but he reviews them according to Revelation. And it's a sweet thing to him. God appreciates your time with him in prayer. I would invite you to find time to be with him every day. I do something that many people, my wife probably thinks I'm crazy. She doesn't know that I do it. When I pray in the middle of the night, I close my door so that nobody knows I'm there. Although my daughter, if she has a need, she will come bursting through the door. Doesn't make any difference. It's usually because she has to take one of her children to the hospital. We have one grandson that has occasionally has breathing problems. And the only solution is the medicine that's injected at the hospital. So she has to get him there in about an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, or whatever it is. And he has to get this medicine, then stay there another hour, then starts breathing right, and then they send him on home. But God has a way of just taking care of us along the way. But I want to emphasize that word may right there. Things don't always go well for the believer. But you'll find that wherever God is working, there will be enemies opposed to the advancement of the gospel. true 2,000 years ago, true today. True with somebody else, true with you. The devil doesn't like you to share the Word of God, even in your lifestyle, let alone your words or your prayers. And because of that, you may have some outward suffering. But we can have peace in this world of tribulation in our inward you because of your relationship with God. I find that I need to refuel myself with the Word of God daily. I eat food daily. I run to the refrigerator. If I'm in the house, I'm in the refrigerator. That's the reason I have an office out behind the house. There is no refrigerator. But I have a bag of peanuts that I always snack on. It's there if I need it. I'm constantly consuming food, but I need also to be constantly consuming the peace of God. Amen. And you can find peace wherever you are, whether it's driving, taking a daily walk, at work, wherever you may be. And then there's a problem. It says, in the world you will have tribulation. The world will not let you have peace, but in the world you will have that tribulation. Romans chapter 5, there's three verses here in this particular chapter that I want to read, starting in verse number 3. It says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Now that'll stop and make you think. To glory in tribulations, that you were counted worthy to be rebuked, slandered, stabbed in the back, have your feet cut out from under you, get fired, get laid off, whatever. But see, in all things, God can work through that situation. I have a friend, a matter of fact, Eugene sang here, I don't know, probably 5 years ago. When I was preaching, I had him sing. He likes to sing, but he likes to sing a cappella, and he has a wonderful voice. But last week, him and his wife were driving somewhere in Richmond, and somebody, a vehicle pulled out and hit him broadside. And his wife is in therapy, and he's in therapy. They've hurt their neck and back and everything else. But even in that, when you don't understand what's going on, God can still be with you and help you along the way. You don't have to do anything wrong to be the target of the devil. You just have to serve the Lord. That's all you have to do. Let me give you a little bit of my background. Age 45. See, my oldest child had just graduated from high school and was in college locally. I lost my job. The reason it was given to me is that the absentee boss said, the present boss can't build this place with you here. Bye. Bottom line. Well, I lost all my friends. All my friends was wrapped around that environment. had no job, had I knew God called me to preach. I had an offer for to be a principal of a school, and I turned it down. But for those, I don't know, really a year, a good year, things did not go well for us, bottom line. My wife was working, but that wasn't enough to pay the mortgage, to be honest. During that year, the mortgage company surveyed my house three times for repossession. I came within an hour of losing it one time. My friend bailed me out. He loaned me X number of dollars. And I questioned God. I said, God, I know you called me to preach. What am I supposed to do? And in the early 90s, nobody wanted an educated, middle-aged man. If you were young, you could get a job. If you weren't young, you were out of luck, bottom line. But what I'm telling you that is that God somehow gets you through all your troubles and your trials. Suffering is the point where you have to make a decision. You can take the easy way out, or you can go on by faith. That's a tough decision. A lot of people take the easy way out. If you go on by faith, there's a promise that Jesus will guide you and comfort you. And that's what you have to claim, and what you have to really claim. There's going to be times that you even doubt that, your personal claim. But you've got to be able to trust God to be able to take care of it. The road may be rough. It may be extremely rough. But I can guarantee you this, the destination is worth all the troubles. The destination is worth all the troubles. Not only will there be a problem, but there's a promise. He says, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. How can you be cheerful in the middle of tribulation? My answer is, go to the Lord. Go to the Lord. It has to do with your attitude. You can become bitter. You can basically say to yourself, woe is me. I didn't deserve all this. Or you can say, God, what do you want me to exhibit or live or how to live? God, what do you want to do with me? Would you enable me to get through this and be a blessing to others along the way? Because other people are watching you when you're in trouble. If you're as a Christian, some people are going to say, how big is his God? He claims to be a Christian and God let this happen to him, but then they don't know that God's working behind the scenes and God's getting ready to bail you out or somehow get you through the valley and over the up to the mountaintop. God's going to do something miraculous. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5 says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Don't get attached to the things of this world. Let God take care of you. Be content with such things as you have. Not what somebody else has, but what you have. Be thankful for the shoes on your feet. Maybe your shoes do not have holes in the bottom. I've had shoes before where I wore through them. I guess that's back in the day when everything wasn't plastic and artificial. And they had real leather and things like that. For he, that is Christ himself, has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's a promise you need to memorize and grab hold of and claim in your toughest of times. God will take care of you if you trust him. God made you that promise to be of good cheer. When things are tough, be of good cheer. Things could always be worse. They could always be worse. You have one flat tire, you could have two. I remember, where I was. I just remember this pickup truck pulling a trailer. I guess he was a roofer, because a box of roofing nails came out of that trailer onto the road. I only got one flat tire. I could have had all four of them flat. But you have to be thankful for the good things. Don't say, woe is me, why did that happen to me? Why did he have to be in front of me? There's something good involved there to teach you along the way. I have thought as a preacher, when things like that happen, I say, why did that happen to me? And somewhere along the way, I remember this. That's going to be an illustration for a sermon. So I shut up. But God has said, I have overcome the world. Jeremiah chapter 32 and 20, verse 27 says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. The God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? God can take care of you in the worst of circumstances. He can take care of you in the best of circumstances. We are in Christ as believers. Therefore, we can overcome the world's problems, if not here, in eternity. God doesn't always promise us a bed of roses that everything will be great here. Romans chapter 8 and verse 37 says, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I may have troubles in this world. You may have troubles in this world. You may suffer and I may suffer. But there's one thing for guaranteed. We never lose God's love. We never lose our Savior's love. But when things get rough, in the meantime, when things get rough, I'll leave you with two verses. As I was looking for verses, I found five of them that used the word that I was looking for, be of good cheer. And after I picked two out and I wrote them down, I noticed two words. And I thought, wow. The first one is found in Matthew chapter 9, verse number 2. The last part of that verse says, son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. Wow. Then in chapter 9 and verse number 22, the second part of that verse says, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you whole. I wonder why God used son in one verse and daughter in another verse. That includes all of us somehow, some way. So when things get tough, when you are suffering and you don't understand why, be of good cheer. You were counted worthy to endure the tribulations of this world. You were counted worthy to suffer for Jesus. And we don't suffer really for Jesus in this country. I mean, I have clothes on my back. I have a roof over my head. I have a car that works and gas in the car, at least for another 25 miles or so. Things are good. I have food in the refrigerator. I have clothes. I have jackets. Cold weather doesn't bother me. I have health and strength. I get to walk. I walk about 2 miles about a day, about five times a week. And I'm thankful for that walk 2 miles this morning. It was cold. It was cold yesterday. But I can put one leg in front of the other. Be of good cheer. Things may be tough, but they can be tougher. Be of good cheer. The Savior is with you. You're indwelled by the Spirit of God. Be of good cheer. You have the opportunity to live for God and share the gospel. Be of good cheer. Your God will never be indebted to you. He will reward you for all of eternity. So when things aren't going your way, be of good cheer. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for your love, your grace. Thank you for the time together. Thank you for the word of God. I pray, Lord, you bless these people. Help them to realize what a privileged people they are. May they go forth in this world and be of good cheer and share the gospel by the way they live, by the way they talk, for the glory of Christ. For I ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.